2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly tent," I believe some of your translations might say tabernacle, it's the idea of our bodies, "if this earthly tent or tabernacle, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And so that's something to think about right there. It's a place where it's eternal. We're going to live there eternally. Our bodies shall be eternal there. They're not going to disappear into or fade away into dust as our bodies do here over time. And they're not going to turn to dust like that. But when you think about some other passages, though, 2 Peter 3, verse 10, and what's basically the contrast of that about, you know, just what people desire in this world. People desire many things in this world. They desire to have different things. They sometimes choose to love the things in the world. 1 John chapter 2 speaks highly against that, which we'll see here in a moment. But some folks, they try to find all kinds of enjoyment in life, and there's nothing wrong or sinful about finding enjoyment in life and finding different things throughout life. I like to collect coins. I've got different coins from different countries that I've collected over the years, and I've got different coins that many people don't even know ever existed here in the United States. And I enjoy doing that. I enjoy collecting coins like that. But the thing about all that is, just consider with me 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. You know, people just love to collect different things. But here's what the Bible says is going to happen to all those different things eventually. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 tells us this. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up." Everything on this earth is going to burn up. My coin collection survives to the day of judgment, it's going to burn up. If this building here survives to the day of judgment, it's going to burn up. If any of these pews survive till the day of judgment, they're going to burn up. All of it's reserved for fire. People try to find all kinds of happiness and try to find meaning to life in material things, and at the end of the day, none of those things are eternal. Nothing in this life is eternal. That needs to be understood. Some people try to find pleasure in sin. Look over in 1 John chapter 2. We quoted this morning, but in 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Notice the next phrase in verse 15. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life, these are not of the Father, but are of the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." Sin is temporary. You're only going to find temporary enjoyment in sin. You're only going to find temporary enjoyment in material things. You're not going to find happiness there. That needs to be understood. That's something you can read about in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Solomon, he was trying to find some sort of meaning in life. And you can see that he was looking for meaning outside of God through both chapters 1 and 2 of Ecclesiastes. And he finally said, concerning trying to find happiness in earth's wealth, he just said, you know what, it was all vanity and striving after wind. And there was no profit to it. And Solomon, he was so rich, he had several different things that this world had to offer him. And yet it was still all vanity. But heaven is described not as temporary, but as eternal, as something that will last forever. That's one reason why I want to go there. All the stuff that we have here on the face of the earth, it's going to burn up. But heaven will be eternal. There's one reason why I want to go there. Another reason why I want to go there is because it's a place of righteousness. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20, if you will. Revelation chapter 20. Notice with me verses 11 through 15. This is talking about the judgment at the throne of God. And it says in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, "Then I saw the great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." We also see in Revelation chapter 21 a description of some of the souls that are there. Horrible souls. "But for the cowardly," Revelation 21 verse 8, "but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the land that burns," or excuse me, "the lake that burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. You think about all the wickedness that is in this world, all the horrible things that have occurred: murder, riots, corruption in the government, more recent years, 9/11, perhaps a little bit of a ways back, Pearl Harbor. My great-grandfather was a survivor of Pearl Harbor. Just recently, Hamas attacked Israel. Several folks out there were killed. It was said that there were several children were killed as well. Innocent. The innocent were killed in that. World War I, World War II, the Civil War, the Vietnam War, the Korean War. All the horrible things that have happened in this world, all the wars, all the killing, all the murder on top of that. And to top it all off, several countries in the world persecute God's people. They persecute Christians. All of these horrible things happen in life. You know, some people say they wish they could live forever here. I would not want to do that at all. I don't want eternal life on this earth. Eternal life on this earth, where all of that's going on, and all that's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Stuff like this has been going on for thousands of years. This kind of mentality of mankind, it's not something that's going to end until the judgment occurs. All these horrible atrocities, all these horrible things happen in this life, and yet none of that is going to be in heaven. There's not going to be people fighting each other in heaven. There's not going to be people waging wars. There's not going to be corruption in the political system, because God will be the king. God will be the only one in the, I don't want to say political system, but he'll be the only one running the government, if you will. None of these horrible things will be happening in heaven. Consider with me 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn back over to 2 Peter. Notice with me chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 tells us, "But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." It's a place of righteousness. There's not going to be any wickedness in heaven. That's something we have to look forward to if we are following God and continuing to be faithful to him. But you know, another reason why I want to go to heaven, another reason why we should all want to go to heaven, is because it's a land of happiness. Notice with me Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Look with me at verses 3 through 4. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Verse 4, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Now, you just about can't enter a town anywhere in the United States without seeing a landscape somewhere just filled with gravestones. There are no gravestones in heaven. There's no landscape filled with them. Not one tombstone will be in heaven. There's not going to be any death or any separation like that. There's not going to be a casket. There won't be any caskets where people are laid in. Well, where, I guess you could say, the tabernacles, as we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, there's not going to be a casket where the vessels, if you will, of those who've passed on will lie. There's not going to be any of that. There's not going to be any mourning family members. You know, you walk into a funeral parlor almost every day. There's always a mourning family there. There's not going to be any of that. There's not going to be any hospitals where people are dying. There's not going to be anything like that. There's not going to be a hospital where someone is laying on their deathbed as children, maybe grandchildren, hold a person's hand as they pass through this life. There's not going to be any of that. Heaven is not going to have any of that stuff. That stuff is going to pass away, according to what the Scripture says. There's one reason. There's yet another reason we should want to go to heaven. None of that will be there. But also, another reason why I want to go there. Another reason why I want to go to heaven is because we have family there. What do I mean by that? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Talk about this a little bit. When Paul's writing to Timothy, he says, I am writing to you so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. That idea of a household, it's the idea of a family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll have family in heaven. Family who have passed on, family who may pass on in the future. There's one reason why I want to go to heaven is because we have family there. Brothers and sisters in Christ are there. We may have physical family there. Now, they're not currently there, according to what the Scripture teaches. In Luke chapter 16, it mentions that they are currently those who have died faithful are currently in the Hadean realm, awaiting the judgment of God, but they're comforted. You can read more about that in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which talks about it more in depth. But consider the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And you know what? Well, let's go ahead and read verse 18 as well. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. If we attain to heaven, if we remain faithful until death, as the scripture says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, we see very clearly that we'll be united with family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, God's family. You think about the hymn, and I believe it's song number 643. It's entitled God's Family. We're part of a family, verse 1 says, that's been born again. Part of a family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of a family that's on its way home. Brethren, let's do everything we can so that we may be united with that family in heaven. Our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's one reason why I want to go to heaven. Another reason is because God is there. We saw this in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. There in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, we shall always be with the Lord. Once that judgment day comes. We also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Turn back over there to 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 tells us this. It says, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. The same God that you read about in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That same God is there. I want to go there. But you know, another reason why I want to go to heaven is because God wants all of us there. We read 2 Peter and quoted these two passages earlier. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, God is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Once again, we've quoted these scriptures in the morning. We've referenced them this evening. It says there in 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4, that God desires all men to be saved. You know, the Calvinists and those who believe in Calvinism, the full 5 points, there's a particular doctrine in there known as irresistible grace. This is a horrible doctrine. What irresistible grace basically teaches is that if you got to be chosen by God to be saved, and He will either force you into salvation or He'll force you away. If you are not chosen of God and you were not chosen before as an individual to become a Christian, if God did not choose you, if God did not say that He's going to allow you to enter heaven, you can't do anything about it. You can't obey the gospel of Christ. You can't do anything because God didn't choose you. That's not the biblical God. The God of the Bible is nothing like the Calvinistic God. The biblical God wants everyone there. Everyone walking the face of the earth. God wants them in heaven. And yet, sadly, so many people reject Him. So many people will not be going there because they will choose to, well, as we talked about in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, and 1 John 2, 14 through 16, they will choose to find meaning and purpose and choose to love the things in this world that are destined to be destroyed. They will choose to love that above God. Sorry, I keep knocking up against this wall. I'm just a little bit used to a wider thing. But anyways, the thing is, when you consider all of this, God wants everyone to go to heaven. And yet, so many people reject that. I remember a particular fellow. I used to be a member of several different atheist, it was like an atheist versus theist discussions and debate groups that were on Facebook. And I was a member of those because I just kind of wanted to see what the everyday atheists, why they denied God's existence. Well, what I came up with was several different, quite verbal arguments. There was one particular fellow who actually said it like this. He said, "I would not want anything to do with God, even if God exists. I would rather burn in hell for eternity than ever step foot into heaven." That man hated God so much. That man, I will say, is ignorant and arrogant in his ignorance. It's a horrible attitude to have. But I'll tell you this right now, even God desires for that man to be saved. Even though at this time, that man says he hates God, he wants nothing to do with him, God still loves him. God still loves that man enough to give him time to repent. Give him time to get his heart right with him. Sadly, many folks with that attitude will just keep their rejection of God in their life entirely. It's a horrible attitude to have, and yet there's several folks in the world that are like that. The final point I want us to consider this afternoon on why I want to go to heaven is because I don't want to go to hell. Someone may say, "Well, that's kind of a weird way to put it. You want to go to heaven because you don't want to go to hell." Well, here's the thing. At the end of this life, when the judgment seat of Christ, we're all standing before that. And we're judged for our deeds. After the judgment seat, there's only two options: heaven or hell. There is not an in-between. There's no purgatory. There's no a little bit of the good, a little bit of the bad mixed into one place. There's none of that. You only have the two options. I should have put Mark 9, verses 43 through 48. Because Jesus describes hell three times. As it says in verse 48, "where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Matthew chapter 13, I believe it's two or three times, Jesus calls hell a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's torment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. It's referred to as separation from God. Revelation 21, which we just read, it's called the second death. That connects with that, the idea of a separation right there. That's what death means, is a separation. You're separated from God in hell and are in pain for eternity. That's the case at the end of the day. I don't want to go there. I want to be with God. Brethren, is that the case of each and every one of us this evening? Let us reflect on that. Is that what I truly want? Is to not be in heaven? Or do we desire to be with God? I would certainly hope we all desire to be with God in heaven. Thinking about, just forgetting that seventh point for a moment. All those six previous points. It's eternal, a place of righteousness. There's not any wickedness there. There's happiness there. There's no death, mourning, crying, pain. There's family there. Our brothers and sisters in Christ will be there, I should say. God is there. God wants us to be there. These should be enough reasons for us to want to enter into heaven. Where will you spend eternity? Will you spend eternity in heaven? All these wonderful things await those who remain faithful to God and obey Him. What will you choose? Perhaps you've never chosen to start your journey toward heaven at all. I'll tell you this right now. You can make that choice this evening. And I'll tell you exactly how you can do that. The Bible tells us exactly what we must do in order to be saved. John 3 verse 16 is one verse that shows that. But also you can read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. It says very clearly that without faith it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws nigh unto Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to have that faith, but you also have to repent, have that change of heart or change of mind. You can see that in Acts 2, verse 38. We read that this morning, but you also can see it in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Paul is talking to the Athenians. And when he's talking to him and he's given his sermon, I believe it was at Mars Hill, it says very clearly that he came, he was preaching to them, and it says that he said that God, having overlooked the times of ignorance, is now declaring that all men, not just a few, all men everywhere should repent. That's a change of heart or change of mind that needs to take place in everyone's life if they hope to attain to heaven. But also, you have to confess Jesus as Lord. Romans 10 verse 10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation." That Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 verse 37 declared, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He made that good confession. But you also got to be baptized. I'm reminded of Acts 22 verse 16. Ananias had said to Paul, Paul's reiterating what had happened. He said, "Now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." Well, if so many people want it to be postponed until five or six people are ready to be baptized in the religious world, why does Paul say, "Why do you delay?" This wasn't something that you postpone. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, corresponding to this, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from flesh, but the appeal to God for a good conscience. One has to be baptized in order to be saved. And once they've been baptized, they have to continue to be faithful. Revelation 2, verse 10 talks about this. It says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." If you've not obeyed that plan, why not? Perhaps you have obeyed that plan, but you've fallen off the path to heaven. You've fallen away. You've fallen into sin. Why not return? Get back on the path toward heaven. Restart the journey toward heaven. You can do that this evening by coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing your sins, and we'll pray to God for forgiveness on your behalf. If you're subject to that invitation, please do not hesitate. I pointed out in every sermon, we have no idea when the Lord's going to return. Well, here's something. Well, what if He doesn't return 100 years from now, but you were to die today? What if you get off onto this road here onto North Van Street, and as you turn, a drunk driver comes and hits you? Would you be ready? What if a piece of a farming equipment came through the walls of the building and took out most of the congregation here, including you? Would you be ready? Plane comes crashing down. We have an airport that way, I think. If it crashed into the building, it took some of us out. Would you be ready? Would you be ready to meet your God? We talk about prepare. Well, there's a hymn we have about prepare to meet thy God. That's actually a quote from Amos. Would you be ready to meet God? If you need to get your heart right with Him, we don't have, again, we have no idea when He's going to return. We have no idea when we're going to die. If your heart is not right before Him, you're in danger. If you need to get your heart right before God, please do not hesitate. Be ready. Be ready to enter heaven. Prepare yourself so that you may be able to attain to heaven. That's what God would want. Or excuse me, that's what God wants. I'm sure everyone here would want that of you as well. If you need to come to God for the first time or return to Him, please do not hesitate. Please come forward right now as we stand and sing.
Who at my door is standing?
Supper is still left to prayer for anyone that did not have an opportunity this morning. For anyone that would like to wait on this time, please raise your hand. Wait on me. I don't see any hands. Once again, thank everyone for coming out this afternoon. Especially appreciate that. Is there any other announcements anybody knows of that need to be made at this time? Not. We thank Brother Ethan for another good lesson. We appreciate that. Remember, service is Wednesday evening. If nothing else, we'll stand and sing.
First verse, 213.
213. Brother Jeff, would you please dismiss?
213. Here we are, but strange, O God.
Here we are, but strange. Yonder over the
forward to being in fellowship with thee. We know, Father, that your word is true and your promises of the gospel are carrying us into heaven with thee someday. Father, we ask you to be with those that are out traveling. Pray that they would have a safe journey. For each of us, Father, as we prepare to go to our places and stay, that you will watch over us and keep us safe. We thank you for Jesus, that he came down to this low land and walked and taught us in a manner which we should conduct ourselves into. Someday we will be able to live eternally with you. Father, we do ask you at this time if we've committed any sins